if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is the mission and emissary of the Ashtar Command. So, if you're ready, let's call ourselves forward into the light of the Christ, into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, into complete alignment with our divine principles and the divine lineages to which we each come forward to do the divine work in this world. Ask for a clearance of any energies that you no longer need to carry. Let's take a deep breath and release those energies. Anything that feels heavy in your mind, your emotions, your physical body, just take a deep breath and release those all. And those energies just dissolve back into the nothingness. For only the bliss of the beloved is your real vibratory essence. Deep breath. We're going to chant the sacred universal name of God, the Hue. We'll do that three times. And as we do that, we're going to be breathing in God and breathing out love. You ready? Deep breath. And breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. Breathe in God. Breathe out love. And just realize that the breath of life is God. The breath of life is the Holy Spirit. And the most radiant one is the one who has awakened as the Christ, as the beloved, as the anointed one. So our mission to planet Earth began 18.5 million years ago when we came as the Lords of the Flame from Venus to spark intelligence in the bipedal beings that were indigenous to the Earth so that they became self-aware and became known as the Homo sapiens. Earth humanity is very unique in the sense that it is the product of numerous colonizations from extraterrestrial civilizations who at various times visited the Earth and gave their little particular tweak, let's say, to the Homo sapiens, each with their seed programs adding a new element. And thus humanity has come to a point where it is unique and beautiful and precious and is somewhat the darling and the marvel of all of those who had part in adding quality to this unique species. Now, during the evolution of the soul, or I should say more appropriately, the evolution of the consciousness, the consciousness that we call soul, the individualized unit of awareness we call soul, had various lifetimes on other planets. Let's say each planet is like a school of consciousness. And primarily these were within our own solar system. So you could have, for example, had lifetimes on Mars, on Venus, on Saturn, on Jupiter, you know, different planets. So when we speak of starseed or people here who are part of the current ground crew on Earth, some of you have come up through the ranks of Earth humanity and developed to where you could go and have incarnations on other planets and then cycle back to Earth. Most commonly, the planet that the Earth humans cycle to and from is Venus. Why? Because Venus represents the soul, the high self, or the alter ego of Earth. And it is into the orbit and the frequency of Venus that Earth is currently ascending. So as that spiraling goes, progresses, it's bringing all of the planets everywhere and all throughout the universe up to a new level. It's bringing our solar system into a new level. We are spiraling up to the next level, which in this case, regarding Earth, is the lowest sphere or dimension of Venus. And since Venus represents divine love and the perfection of divine love, that is the planet that is our primary focus as we move through this, which we call the ascension process. Now, the last 2,000 years, the mission began to intensify, preparing humanity to move into a path of grace, which superseded the former path of karmic law. And it meant that we needed to send an emissary from the very highest levels of Venus, the very highest possible expression of consciousness into the Earth as a way shower, as a Messiah, as the anointed one, as the one who could enter the holodeck and not get lost in it, as one who could walk the Earth and not become forgetful of who he was. And that being was an aspect of our galactic Christ that we call Lord Sananda. Lord Sananda is the head and the spiritual master of the Ashtar Command. He overlights and oversees everything that we do. And so, at that cosmic level, he is known as Sananda, or the Rishi Sananda in the Vedas, or the sage. Rishi means sage. So the story of our coming to the planet with the great Lord that is the planetary logos of Earth. We came with Sanat Kumara, who is the planetary logos. And Lord Sanat Kumara functions as a trinity. There's Sanat Kumara, there's Sananda Kumara, and there's Sanaka Kumara. And these beings are all mentioned in the Vedas. And so they operate in trinities. And it is through that trinitized energy that the Ashtar Galactic Command was sent forth as what has been referred to as the airborne division of the Brotherhood of Light. So 2,000 years ago, we appeared in the sky in our mothership, the Star of Bethlehem. And that mothership, glowing like a star, led the Magi from the east to the birthplace where the planetary presentation of Lord Sananda was given birth as Yeshua, or Jesus. At that time, we gave our very first message audibly to planet Earth. It was sent forth in a series of tones, which have been translated in the Bible as glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all mankind. What I would say is that man, with a capital M, is universal. The H-U, man, the God-man. The man that is created in the likeness of God, which would be as divine love, as divine, the living word, and as the perfection of truth or wisdom. And so we are made in that image as light, as that highest level of divine realization, and then seeded into these physical vehicles so that the great God force could find ever more perfect ways to express its being through each individualized unit of itself, which we would call a soul. And so all life is one, and it sends rays like a sun of individualized essence that extends its glory, that extends its essence throughout this and a myriad of worlds. And that's what the human being is, an extension of the divine will to give and receive love and to share love through relationships. And that's the whole plan in a nutshell, in the most simple of terms. So the Ashtar Command is an alliance of human men and women from many different planetary points of origin, but primarily the Dusian. We also have within our airborne fleet those from Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, Mercury, Pleiades, Sirian, Andromeda, Arcturus, and elsewhere. We have been referred to as the tall white Nordics, although we're not all tall, nor are we all white. There are those of violet, blue, gold, green, brown, yellow, red, and other skin tones. So, overall, we serve as galactic guardians of peace within this galaxy. We supervise its spiritual unfoldment according to the divine plan. What's the divine plan? Well, in this universe, God is to be known as love. That is the keynote for this universe and its unfoldment. God is love. So that is to be replicated throughout the universe, solar system, and upon Earth, where the plan is to know and embody the divine source as love through the human form. So we have within our fleet hundreds of spaceships, varying from city-sized motherships to shuttlecraft of all sizes, to Merkabas, which are really an extension of the divine glory of a person who has realized their godhood, where their physical body actually, they're not so much their physical body transforms into a light field, which in its divine expansion resembles a spacecraft. Not a nuts and bolts one, of course, but a vehicle of light in which they don't have to travel in a space vehicle. They become the space vehicle that they are. For example, Archangel Michael is not going to be on a spaceship, right? So there's different levels of, let's say, unfoldment, spiritual unfoldment within the Ashtar Command. So that literally there are men and women that can work with humanity at all their various levels of consciousness and understand them. Many times because they've had incarnations on Earth and are able to understand, you know, best how to work with people here. So that's very simplistically a description of who we are and what we do. We also travel free of the constraints of time and space. We move with the speed of thought so that we can be from Venus to Earth in minutes, shorter than minutes, at the speed of thought, however thought travels, if you want to use that as a metaphor. In other words, there's no time and space element involved in our moving about within the timeline, forward and backward in time, in and out of time, above the timeline, beyond time itself. We have unlimited access to be anywhere and everywhere at any point of time or beyond. So each planet has seven incarnations, let's call them. Each physical planet that you look up and see in the sky has six other bodies that are more and more subtle. They're called globes. And that seven, those seven globes are referred to as a chain. The current globe that a planetary civilization is inhabiting would be called a round. So Earth itself is in its fourth incarnation or globe or round. And it's preparing to move into, actually it's four and a half. It's preparing to move now into the fifth world or the fifth globe or the fifth incarnation. And that's what we call the ascension. Now, fifth, sixth, and seventh are very, very high. They're more and more spiritual, more and more subtle, until at the seventh round, you're literally one with God. And that it would be equated to the God realm, the God world. Venus currently in her highest level is in the seventh incarnation or globe. And there people are literally gods and goddesses. And they're living in the golden age. And so we're coming into that harmonic of that golden age frequency. And we are moving more and more now. Humanity is moving in the quantum leap where they will be soul infused. In other words, instead of operating out of the lower mind and the human personality, they will be self-realizing into the awareness that they are soul, that they're not just physical body, but they're actually a spiritual being having a human experience. And I hope that's clear. because we have a lot of information out there. I'm speaking strictly of the Ashtar Command and who I represent. And our mission is a very spiritual one. It's really having to do with overseeing humanity's graduation at this point and matriculation into a higher state of consciousness that's been referred to as the Golden Age or the New Age or the Age of Aquarius, excuse me, and so forth and so on. So every human being has seven higher bodies, ever more subtle, and the planets also have seven subtle bodies, ever more subtle. And everything in our creation in this dimensional universe is septenary. But in the God realm, it's all based on 12. So in the Earth scheme or the Earth round chains you have, or the Earth chain, you have the sevenfold unfoldment. Then in the divine realms, the higher realm, you have the ninefold unfoldment. And then in the greatest divine source that we can conceptualize, everything is 12-fold. So it helps you to understand a little bit the sacred geometric progression of consciousness and how it's encoded numerically. Some of the things that we work, excuse me, work with in the Ashtar Command. We have worked with our Earth-based volunteers, our emissaries, those of you who have come here on Earth assignment, to travel and anchor light in the various planetary points, the vortices and grids, points within the grid. You have worked with in the past several decades to create a consciousness grid that we refer to as the Christ consciousness grid. We also have been we're going to be doing a lot of clearing tonight. By the way, isn't it great to be back on the air? We just send a shout out to all of you and to God Almighty for bringing BBS Radio back on the air from the ashes of the complete obliteration in Paradise, California. They are so grateful to all of you who contributed and really went out of your way to show your love and support and assistance in getting them back on their feet. So the GoFundMe account that was started for them gave them enough money to repurchase all of the equipment that was lost in the Paradise fire. And they have relocated now to South San Francisco area. But you know, they're having a little bit of trouble getting everything back functioning the way it was before. So tonight is one of our trial runs because this is the first time my show is aired in 5 weeks now, and that would hold for the other hosts of BBS Radio as well. But just to let you know, if it sounds a little bit different tonight, that's why. We're working with brand new equipment from a brand new location, and there's bound to be snafus, right? And a little bit of a challenge. So what do I want to tell you about that? Okay, the grid that is being created by the crop circles, okay? We can see visually many of the crop circles on the planet, but as many as you can actually see, there are just that many that you can't see that are being placed in the water and snow and ice and the oceans. I would say there's no place on the planet Earth right now that does not have a crop circle frequency embedded in that substance, wherever it is, whatever it is. And what that's doing is creating a connection, a grid from the Earth, a magnetic field of the Earth, to an etheric grid that you can't see. At least most people can't see it. Some clairvoyants can. But there's a higher grid that's invisible, that's in the etheric plane. And it's upon those two grids wedded together that we're going to have the technology of light given to us. The technology of light will enable us to go into an Aquarian age mastery of the etheric element and air element and energy element that we have not had anything like it before on the planet. Not even in Atlantis in its golden age did we have what we're going to be having with the technology of light. It will completely eradicate disease. It will completely elongate indefinitely the lifespan. It will make the current medical practices and invasive operations obsolete. We will be able to regrow organs from the DNA of the original host person without invasive surgery. We will be able to have complete free energy, and all of the energy that we need to fuel everything that is fueled now by fossil fuels and things of that nature, we will have abundant free energy by the electromagnetic fields of the sun cooperating with the magnetic field of the earth by way of this grid that is being created by the crop circles. So the crop circles are largely made by the Ashtar Galactic Command with ships from Venus primarily and Mars, but also Jupiter and Mercury and various other ones from time to time. But primarily they're being made by Commander Soltec and his Phoenix Command, which is a division of the Ashtar Command. And Commander Soltec is in charge of the solar energies, which are basically the source of life and energy and power and all forms of unfoldment in the universe, both spiritual and material. Without the sun, we would have no life. So the sun is a very, very powerful force, and he's a solar scientist, Commander Soltec. And his fleet is called the Rainbow Fleet and also the Phoenix Fleet. So what else can I tell you about these good things? Along with the technology of light, and before we're given the power of the technology of light, humanity must be guided to eradicate war and make it obsolete for all time. Across the board, it has to be completely eradicated from this planet. The war machine, according to the world teacher Lord Maitreya, has been turned off. So when we see these little bursts of war, the overall global atomic holocaust that so many people feared is no longer anywhere a possibility. We at the Ashtar Command have demonstrated our ability very dramatically in how we can turn off the silos of all the nuclear launching chutes all at once and in a second. And not one single atomic bomb will be allowed to be a source of destruction. And, you know, that's also the fact that it disrupts, if you disrupt the energy field of Earth by even the tiniest degree, it would set the entire solar system off kilter. And that simply cannot be allowed. Quite simply, it can't be allowed. So do not worry about a global holocaust or an extinction of life on planet Earth or any of that. None of that is going to happen. None of it. And so some of what we are doing in the Ashtar Command, and we've been doing this for decades, is that we have contacted those in the highest levels of government all over the world. We have sent emissaries. I was the emissary that was sent to speak before the Society of Transformation and Enlightenment in the United Nations, 1997, I think it was. Maybe it was 96. But anyway, I spoke. These things that I'm speaking to you, I spoke about the emerging planetary and celestial lords of light and the emerging golden age and the externalization of the world teacher, his masters of wisdom. I spoke about Satya Sai Baba as the cosmic avatar, who, by the way, has been said to be the regent, that is the physical stand-in for Sanat Kumara upon Earth. Because the Lord Sanat Kumara, who is our planetary logos, cannot descend in his frequency lower than the astral plane. So he has to have a person physical to represent him. Sanat Kumara has been called the Ancient of Days in the Bible. He's also been called the Youth of Many Summers, because even though he is ancient, he appears as a youth. He is the Father, the one that Jesus referred to as the Father. And when he said at the Last Supper that he was going to return to the Father, he returned to Sanat Kumara, who is stationed in Shambhala. He's also known as the Lord of Shambhala. And by many, many other names, depending upon the world tradition or scriptures, each of these beings has many names. So we have to learn to broaden our understanding, to realize that the same thing is said over and over again in many, many different ways and metaphors and tonalities and flavors, if you will. So Sanat Kumara is what we would call God the Father. And when it says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, that means he sits on the council of Shambhala in a position of administration. And at that position, he has never left the earth. That's important to understand, that when Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you even at the end of the age," that's what he meant. He has never left the earth. But he is in a dimension that is invisible in terms of human eyesight. He is in the highest planes of the etheric. And that's where Shambhala is located, even though physically it has it's actually in the high Himalayas, in what's called the death zone, because it's 17,500 feet in the Himalayas, but it's located in physical etheric matter. So even though it's called physical by definition, it's in a higher degree of physicality. The four higher levels of the physical plane are invisible to human optics. And those are the levels at which the spiritual brotherhood and sisterhood that governs our planet and its evolution, that's where they live and where they work from, including Sanat. So, in the creation of anchoring points for these higher energies to interact with the Earth physically, that's been a big part of our mission. And those of you on Earth assignments, remember back in the 80s and 90s, you were guided to go to different places on the planet and activate certain centers and plant crystals in certain places. I remember we were walking in Sedona. A group of us were doing the Ashtar Command Ascension Activational Journey, which my partner and I were co-facilitating. And we came upon an area near Courthouse Rock up in Sedona. There was an open field, and we saw a whole bunch of people, and they had created this most beautiful, yantra, I'd call it in Sanskrit, yantra, divine design, grid of crystals. And these people didn't know each other, and they were from all over the world, and they each received a telepathic message to take a crystal and plant it, go to Sedona and plant it in the earth there. And so here are all these people who have come from all these different countries with the same message to plant these crystals. So when we had gotten on the scene, they had just completed the matrix, I guess you could call it too, template, matrix, labyrinth, whatever, of these crystals. It was a bright sunny day with a clear blue sky, and we looked up and there were 12 Ashtar command ships, like a circle of stars, right over that grid that they had completed. It was breathtaking. And so those are some of the things that are happening. I did a number of workshops at a commander's ranch in Durango, Colorado, up in Mancos, close to Durango. And during the time we were doing those workshops, at night, when everyone would go to bed, by the way, Sharula, Princess Sharula from Telos, that was born under Mount Shasta in the community called Telos, she was there. She was part of the group. And at night, when most of the participants were back in their tents or wherever they were camping, the Ashtar command would put down a visible circle of light over that field right outside where we were doing the workshops on the property of this ranch. And we were told to, two of us, you know, most of the people weren't allowed to do this preliminary work. We would wait until everybody was asleep. And then these two of us would go out, and we were told by the Ashtar command to walk in the circle of light and to experience the different energies that they were placing around that circle. I remember when my friend walked into the circle, the woman who owned the ranch, she would disappear. And then when she watched me walking in the circle, I would disappear. And so the next night, we were given permission for the people in the workshop to be able to enter the circle for the first time. And the Ashtar command made this beautiful 11-11 gateway. And each of the people were to walk through between the two 11s that were like columns of light. And they were to walk through that and then into the circle. And then the Ashtar command said that as they walked the circle, they were being encoded in some way and worked with energetically to enhance their ability to ascend, move into their higher light bodies. It was quite amazing. And I remember at one point I was in the center of the circle and Lord Ashtar came. And he was very tall, but very disappointing because for the first time I realized, oh my gosh, he's in another dimension. Because he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, he was just white. A tall, white Pillsbury Doughboy made up of cool mist. And so he and this etheric light body form merged with me. First he did a greeting mantra with his hands, and then he just walked into me and we became one. And it was the first time it really hit me that my spiritual family is in another dimension. I remember when we entered the ranch, we were greeted by the Ashtar command, and they had formed a circle all around us, and they were in those white light body forms so that you could clearly see them, but they were obviously in another dimension and just looked like light forms. Had so many, many experiences, and but these were things that happened when we were traveling in the 90s and doing a lot of workshops with groups of people, some of which traveled. We had like 22 that traveled with us to all of the different sacred sites throughout America and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. And we traveled up into Canada and down into Mexico and the Yucatan. We had a lot of adventures directed and overlighted, supervised by the Ashtar Command. Went to Egypt. There it was very interesting because I had my eyes closed during the time this was happening, and so I didn't see it. But two of the participants, one of whom was very clairvoyant and her husband was not, but he saw the same thing. And at one point, they said that Ashtar entered the room with several other commanders following. They were all dressed in white uniforms. And they stood before each participant and were working with their crown chakras, giving them particular energies, blessing them. And then when they had completed, that person would, like, you know, their heads would nod like they'd fallen asleep. So at one point I opened my eyes and I realized I thought people were falling asleep. And then my friend later told me that, no, Ashtar was walking among people. I wasn't allowed to see that for whatever reason. I think because it was wonderful to have that validation from someone other than myself. And she told me, like, months later, after we had completed the Egyptian cruise along the Nile, the activating of each of the temples, she said, well, I thought you knew. I said, no, I didn't. And that was during the 12-12 in 1994, when Princess Cerula and Shield and myself, we took some 600 light workers on a cruise up the Nile. And we did ceremony and reversed we were in the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, for like 4 hours in the King's Chamber. We had exclusive entrance into the King's Chamber for that period of time. And we reversed the 666 into the 999, which means we shifted from the carbon-based material points of limitation, let's say, into the universal resurrected frequencies of the 999 for humanity, planet. So that's some of the work that the emissaries of the Ashtar Command doing on the planet. Many of you have traveled and told me how you have been guided to anchor energies in certain places or plant crystals or sometimes just to anchor energy by moving into and living in a place for a period of time. And then sometimes you're relocated to another area. And my travel partner, Solariel, and I made multiple trips all over the planet, countless trips across the United States, Canada, all over, and being guided and directed, we opened an Ashtar Command base and light center in Sedona, and that was for 3 years, and then we anchored one in Mount Shasta for another 3 years. And we're guided, you know, just completely guided. Now, I've been stationed here near the San Andreas Fault Line for the last 12 years. And it's part of my mission has been being sent to places where there's danger of an earthquake. And I serve as an anchor point of light for that, to stabilize that area. Solariel often has moved from the East Coast to the West Coast and back and forth, depending on which place in the grid needs be stabilized. So those of you that are uprooted and guided to move frequently, that's why. Other people are guided to anchor in a particular place and stay there for more or less indefinitely. Each of you has a completely different mission. Although certain things we do in group formation, still each one is individually encoded with a particular mission that you're to do. And you know what? Since we work as a group, if one of the ground-based people doesn't wake up, and sometimes we carry more than one mission. And that happened to me. At one point, I was carrying 3 extra missions for people who either didn't wake up and take up their mission or became ill and couldn't fulfill their mission. And then I had the good fortune of people who took portions of the mission that I was supposed to do that really I didn't have time to do it, and they fulfilled that for me. Joshua David Stone did a lot of the writing that I was supposed to do, for example. Norma Milanovic did a lot of the activational journeys and traveling that I was supposed to do. So those are 2 examples of commanders who took on some of the burden that I would have had to have carried. Eric Klein became ill when he started to travel, and so I took on some of the work that he was unable to fulfill. He was a beautiful battle for the astronaut. So, you know, we work as a family of light, as a group of brothers and sisters who come together to coordinate and cooperate to get the mission done. And the mission primarily is to open human hearts. The problems, all of the problems, I would say, that are happening on the planet today is because the heart is closed and people are living out of their lower chakras. The lower chakras are, from the base of the spine on up, security, sensation, and power. And there they get locked. They live in a very ego state. And so the mission right now, and by the way, they bypass the heart entirely and operate then from the ego mind. So that's why we have all the problems on the planet. So the mission is to open the heart and connect the mind and the heart so that a person can be heart-directed rather than ego-directed, which is the case now with almost everyone. Now with these fires and floods and earthquakes and tornadoes and fire-nados and what else do we have? Erupting volcanoes. We are having a huge pattern interrupt and a reset. So much of what has happened has totally disrupted people's business as usual, their habits, their complacency, because you never know where the next thing is going to hit. And for the last 2 years, maybe longer, we have had nonstop storms here in Northern America, North America. It seems like I know we've gone through at least 4 or 5 different name sequences because they name each one of the storms. Just one after another. We haven't had a minute where we haven't had something going on the East Coast, primarily the East Coast. And of course, that includes Florida and the southern part also, the Gulf, you know, that area. And this year we've had a lot in the Midwest, and then we had the fires in on the West Coast where I am. Terrible fires. And the worst being the fire up at Paradise, which obliterated our beautiful BBS radio studio. And home base. The Newsom brothers had literally created a Garden of Eden there with over 130 different plants, fruit-bearing trees, 150 fruit-bearing trees that, and terrace gardens, and meditation trails, places to sit. It was really going to be such a beautiful place. People to come and awaken spiritually and enjoy the beauty. Well, for whatever reason, that was reduced to ash. One of the things, the stories of the reduction of things to ash, I was reminded by what Sai Baba had said. Sai Baba is a manifestation of Shiva, and Shiva manifests what is called sacred ash, or vibhuti, which reminds us of the ultimate condition of all matter and its ultimate reduction, which is ash. beyond the state of ash, materiality can't go. That's the truth, you might say, of matter is ash, material things, including our physical bodies. And so in a way, and particularly in our affluent communities of Malibu, and you know, some of the great stars live in Malibu, and all of those areas with just, you know, so many acres of destruction and hundreds of homes that were destroyed. It was amazing. But with the downpouring of the energy of the Spirit of Truth, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth is being visited upon all flesh at this time, being poured out upon all humanity. And if you want to know the revelation of that truth in terms of material form, would be ash. So in a way, all of these fires were showing us that all of our material form, all that we put into acquiring material form, material acquisitions of all kinds, that it's going to end up as ash ultimately. And so, are we building something that we can take into eternity? Or are we focused entirely upon the form, which is ultimately going to be reduced to ash? And it was interesting because in hearing the people give their interviews over the television, over the news, so many of them said they were on the brink of a breakthrough into something really big. They were going to open a new store, a new division of their work, and going to enter into a new production, movie production, whatever, whatever. But they were just getting ready to go into the next phase, what would have advanced their material life and their material career. And it begs the question, but would it have added anything to their character, to their soul development, to their spiritual life? You know, and each one has to answer that for themselves. But it was interesting because as I was contemplating this, what's this all about? And California per se, particularly Southern California, Norma Milanovic was given the information from the Galactic Command that it represents the voice of the command, the message of the command. I thought was really interesting. Because from California, primarily from Southern California, goes the creative message which goes throughout the world, through our movies, through the television series. You know, we're spreading the ideologies of the creative consciousness that originates out of Hollywood. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the brutal, I would say, because some of the imagery, I wonder why they waste their money on that stuff. But we're infecting the whole planet with the things that come out of Hollywood. So, and yet, you know, John Roger said, the Master John Roger, who also has an origin on Venus and was my spiritual mentor for many years, he said that nowhere was the etheric webbing from the dimension more thin than over Southern California, that the two levels so close that the other energies from the higher planes could enter very easily in Southern California. And he called it the cradle of the new age, of the golden age. Benny Hinn, the great healing evangelist, also was told the same thing by the angels. And he was relocated from Orlando, Florida to Newport Beach, just down the freeway from where I live, not very far. So the the message came to many people. Sai Baba, I remember, in the 80s, had many people, directed several devotees from the East Coast to move to Southern California. And one time, some people asked him, what would be the spiritual center of the planet in the future? And he said, Los Angeles. Recently, I was guided to pick up Autobiography of a Yogi and reread it after many years, and I was surprised to see that Yogananda was told the same thing by Sri Yukteswar, is the master. So apparently, Los Angeles is, of course, I always felt that in my heart, but Los Angeles is a very sacred place. It's the place, of course, where Yogananda was directed to come by his guru, and where the Mother Center for the Self-Realization Fellowship is located here, Los Angeles. And then you have the Lake Shrine, Malibu, that was gifted to Yogananda. He saw the property and vision. He was still a boy in India. So it's interesting because I often say we're in a timeline, time lag within the timeline. We're recapitulating and re-experiencing episodes and scenarios that were already completed a long time ago. They were already completed. And we're going through them again. Why? Well, I think that we can tweak them a little bit and make them more loving. That's what deja vu is for. That's that feeling that so many of us have, I know I have, of wanting to do everything a little bit better, a little bit more loving, more compassionate, more selfless. You're constantly perfecting. Why? Because the whole curriculum on the planet Earth is for us to master difficulties, master change, master the unexpected, the unknown, to test our spiritual mettle and muscle. Because as we work through and exercise our resourcefulness and our ingenuity and our creative consciousness and find ways to deal with whatever we're confronted with, we grow spiritually and we add to our mastership. Because the whole program is to make of us conscious co-creators with divine source. We will be coming into levels of responsibility where we will be creating worlds, planetary civilization. Maybe some of us will be logos of a planet. Who knows? There are so many ways that the divine creative energy manifests in the cosmos. But that's what we're here to learn and develop into and perfect. So life on planet Earth has its ups and downs, constant change, its impermanence. Each lifetime we will pick a different curriculum, a different experience, a different lens of consciousness. Very often a different culture, a different religion, a different skin color, a different racial perspective, until we've had all of these different experiences. And we've had the ability of learning how to roll with the punches, so to speak, so that we can handle whatever comes forward. We have already a built-in expertise. And that's why we have good times and bad times and the predictability of constant change here in these lower dimensions. It's not that bad things happen to good people. It's about the choices of the soul in wanting to experience and master different elements of life. So in highest truth, we're not here getting punished or by a vengeful God or anything like that. We are learning through trial and error, and we're learning that when you set in motion a particular energetic it has consequences. And so we're learning to work in a way that we foresee the consequence before we act, and we act with wisdom rather than just impulsively doing whatever we feel like doing. So this is an acquired level of skill and expertise that you grab, you learn only through experience. You know, you can't phone this in. You can't read a book and get it. You have to actually have the hands-on experience to make it your own, to own it, to secure it, and to develop it, cultivate it more within yourself. So we've just come through our trials by fire here in California and other places. Colorado also had horrific fires up in the area where I was speaking earlier, where we had done the workshops, saw the circles of light, right in that Durango, Mancos, Colorado area. There was terrible fires. And then I'd have to say, under that property from Mesa Verde, in a 10-mile circumference, is the oldest Ashtar command base on the planet. Very, very ancient base. The center of which is directly under the Temple of the Sun in Mesa Verde. And with our workshops, we did many, many anchorings and ceremonial things at that Temple of the Sun. But right underneath is this huge Ashtar command base, which is the oldest on the planet, I understand. Lord Manka, Kedar Manka, who is the legal guardian for Earth in the Saturnian Council, Martian being, great being, commander in the Ashtar Command. His area of jurisdiction is that Colorado area of Mesa Verde, and I would always see his ship stationed there whenever I would do a workshop in that area. Tuella was also stationed there when she was writing many of the Ashtar Command books, which are so wonderful. You can still get a copy of them. And I was a good friend of Tuella in the last 2 years of her life. I went to her. I saw her check me out, make sure I was who I said I was, and then she recognized me as her beloved friend, Athena, the Ashtar Command. So I had her voicemail message addressing me as her beloved friend. And I wished I'd had a way to preserve it, because it was so wonderful to hear her voice, feel her love. So, I think that's about what I wanted to share with you tonight. We have, according to Tuella, back in the days when she was representing directly the Ashtar Command, she at that time had said there were 4 million volunteers here on Earth assignment from the Ashtar Command. I would say probably we're at least double that now, counting the walk-ins, counting the children that are being born now and have been being born since about 1975. No special souls started coming in big time. Not that they didn't come in before, they did, but a large influx started. And then especially from then on and increasingly now. So these are very, very special souls that are coming in. They don't have Earth karma. They don't really sweat the small stuff. They have come in for a totally different world, which we say, and many, many say, began, we're in it. We're in the energy field of the emerging Satya Yuga, age of truth. Right now, it's a matter of consciousness. You don't have to wait. You can move in any time you want to prioritize peace and love and make that more important than conflict and negativity. Anytime you want to shift, and you've built up the spiritual muscle to do it, you can do it. No chronological point that you have to wait for. But having said that, Maharishi and Sai Baba and many other illumined ones have said that we enter into the golden age in 2020 to 2050. Irrevocably enter into the golden age. They also said this is the last year, 2019, which we're going to be going into in a few days. We enter into the last of the really dramatic earth change events. So, communication we had recently from Lord Sananda was to be ready to leave everything behind in a moment, in a second, without former or prior notification. To live so present, so aware, and attentive to the present moment and its energies that you can feel within yourself absolutely detached and complete and whole, and be able to shift in a moment's notice and not look back. To expect the unexpected, to know it's no longer business as usual, and not to lapse into complacency, not to go to sleep, think everything's going to be the same day in, day out. It's not. New norm is radical change. New norm is transcending the limits of time and space and conditions that you're in, and living at a higher level that's unshaken by that inner composure which you've centered yourself, which basically is loving awareness. And so we're cautioned to give up our usual attachment to our routine, our habitual habits and expectations, and to not be complacent. Very strong about that. Don't be complacent. Don't doze off. Lose your awareness. And be detached. Have attachment. Don't think. So that was just 3-4 days ago we got that message. I had ongoing communiques with the Ashtar Command before and after the fires. They said they were doing everything they possibly could to assist. And I know that many, many were beamed up and evacuated out of that fire, that were members of the ground crew and were extraterrestrials. Sometimes you see you're lifted out without a registration, the time element at all. Because I've had that experience, and many of you have as well, of where you're just lifted out of a situation, out of time, and replaced in another place in advancement on the timeline, so that you don't go through whatever the catastrophe was that had transpired. It doesn't register in your consciousness any shift or being beamed up. You just suddenly realize you were saved in that situation. So I know that's going to happen to many of you who are in situations where there might be a catastrophic earth event or a flood or a fire or something or whatever. Just know that one of the things the Ashtar Command does to protect its ground crew is to shift you out of that position in the timeline, just slightly off of where it happens in the physical. And you're protected that way. So, that's what I had to share for tonight. And we, the Ashtar Command, our love, our blessings, each one of you. So, let's all of us raise our hands and send a blessing to this planet, to every man, woman, and child. We'll go out chanting Anai Hu as we send that blessing out to the people on this beautiful planet. Deep breath. Anai. Blessings and grace. Namaste.